Welcome, patrons, to our patron-requested review of Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
A time of homecoming. A time of tyrants. A time when the only way to uphold justice was to break the law.
So, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, released in 1991, starring Kevin Costner, Morgan Freeman, Mary Elizabeth Mastrantino?
What do you know her from?
That's this.
No, you know her from something else.
Why don't you just tell me?
Scarface.
I don't know her from that.
Really? I know her from that.
I know Michelle Pfeiffer from Scarface.
No. She's the sister.
Okay. Anyway, this has Christian Slater as well and Alan Rickman.
Yeah, it does.
With a screenplay by Penn Densham and John Watson, music by Michael Kamen, cinematography by Douglas Milsom, who also did the cinematography for Full Metal Jacket.
Not bad.
And directed by Kevin Reynolds, who
directed Waterworld.
And the other film I saw on there was Count of Monte Cristo.
Yes, have you seen that?
No, I haven't seen either of those.
Oh, I've seen them both.
Are they good?
I mean, I remember not liking Waterworld and I barely remember Count of Monte Cristo, so...
High praise.
Pass.
So this had one Oscar nomination for Best Original Song for Everything I Do It For You by Bryan Adams. I thought that was the song this was attached to.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Did they play it in this film?
They played it during the end credits.
I must have missed that.
Did you turn it off?
Well, obviously, I didn't.
I did too.
I didn't stay for the end credits.
I finished the movie, I turned it off, and then I saw it had nominated for this song. I'm like, did I hear that? Let's go back and check that end credits for a second. Ah, there it is. Yeah, that song, obviously, it's Bryan Adams' biggest song of his career. It was a massive song. It stayed on the US Billboard chart at number one for 14 weeks and 16 weeks at number one in the UK. That's a very, very long time for a song to stay at number one.
Yeah, it is. It's not bad at all.
So let's talk about casting, Dean. Cary Elwes for the role of Robin Hood.
Yeah, I did say that. He turned it down.
He thought the plot was too contrived.
But he went on to star in Men in Tights, a slightly less contrived plot.
But just as much Robin Hood.
Lots of Robin Hood, yes.
We also had Mel Gibson was offered the lead, but he had just done a period piece in Hamlet, so he turned it down.
Fair enough.
We see that Johnny Depp turned down the role of Will Scarlet, and Sam Neill turned down the role of Sheriff George.
Who is Sheriff George?
No idea.
Okay.
Did you see who the first choice was to play Maid Marian?
Gina Davis.
No, Robin Wright.
Right. Very good. No, she's good. Princess Bride.
Starring Cary Elwes.
Yeah.
Imagine that duo back.
People would have loved that.
Absolutely. But she had to drop out of the film because she got pregnant with her first child. But let's look at some other considerations for the Sheriff of Nottingham. We had Sir Michael Gambon. Where do you know him from?
Harry Potter.
Very good. John Hurt.
Harry Potter.
Is he?
I think so.
I know him from Alien. He's the guy who gets the chest burst.
Yeah, he's Ollivander. He's the guy that sells Harry the magic wand.
Ian McKellen. Oliver Reed.
Oliver Reed. There's a name I haven't heard since Gladiator.
And Sir Patrick Stewart.
Nice.
Interesting considerations there. It was actually originally offered to Richard E. Grant.
Of that Melissa McCarthy fame film.
I still actually remember him from Spice World.
I don't remember that at all.
And a little bit part in Logan.
I don't remember that either.
Yeah, he's very, very forgettable in that film.
Who is he in Logan?
He's like the big bad guy, like the scientist guy who pops in for like two scenes and then like Logan like shoots him at the end, like really quick.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
What about some other considerations for Maid Marian? Elizabeth Hurley?
Nice.
Nicole Kidman? Julie Richardson?
Don't know I know that one.
Ally Sheedy?
Don't know that one.
Ally Sheedy is like Breakfast Club.
Which one?
Not Molly Ringwald.
So the grumpy emo thing?
That's the one.
Thing. That's not very nice. It's just the first word that came to mind.
And Sophie Marceau was also one consideration there too.
Oh, Marceau.
No.
Braveheart.
The World Is Not Enough.
No, Braveheart.
Okay.
Always Braveheart.
So the producers, one of them being Kevin Costner, who was Kevin Reynolds'
Shocking.
Longtime friend, they took over the editing of this movie.
Oh, God. We need more Costner.
Going to the extent of physically locking the original editor, Peter Boyle, out of the editing suite. However, they were contractually obliged under the Directors Guild rules to show their cut to Kevin Reynolds. He was less than impressed of what they had done with the movie.
Fair enough.
It was rumored that Kevin Costner had some of Alan Rickman's scenes cut when he realized that Rickman was upstaging him.
Yeah, I mean, Alan Rickman's very enigmatic, and Kevin Costner is very... How do you say this?
Bland.
Kevin Costner-y.
Staley, wooden.
How dare you? Kevin, he was huge.
Kevin,
back in
Kevin
the day.
Costner, that made perfect sense. I think we had the same thing going there. There was also a rumor that Kevin Costner wanted to use an English accent, but Kevin Reynolds didn't want him to. So Kevin claims that he was initially asked to use an accent and hired a dialect coach, but he was stopped and the coach was fired when he did it poorly. So we have an American accent Robin Hood.
I did not even notice it, to be fair.
Yeah, but this was released on the 14th of June in 1991 with a runtime of 143 minutes, 155 for the extended version.
Ooh, should have watched that one.
With a budget of $48 million, grossed $165 million in America for second highest for the year.
Behind Terminator 2.
That's right. And worldwide grossed $390 million, once again second for the year.
Yeah, it actually scored the second best opening of all time for a non-sequel at the time.
I'm sure that record's been broken many times since then. Many, many times.
Many, many, many times. Still, undoubtedly, it was a huge film when it came out.
Absolutely. And I had not seen it until this breakdown.
I'd seen it a few times in my youth.
How long ago did you see it? Like, give us a ballpark. Like, what?
Ballpark? 13? I don't think after I left home that I saw it, so I will say
9.
I was probably 15.
Well, you know, there's been...
But I would have seen it probably 5 times, I reckon, at least.
Well, there is a big difference. You had another, 15, 16 years to soak it in and now watch it as an adult.
Yeah.
But it has an average of 6.9, over 167,000 ratings on IMDb. And I'm very curious to hear what you think of the movie now after such a long time of not watching it.
Yes, well, let's get into it.
So we get this title screen come up and this music playing. And I swear to God, I have heard this music before so many times. I'm like, but I've not seen this film. Where have I heard this music from?
I hope you did research and this is going somewhere.
This is the music they played on the logo of the Disney DVDs. Like when the logo comes up. This
What is it? Back to the Future?
It sounded like it, didn't it?
I'm pretty sure you just sang it back to the Future.
No, I can't. I'm telling you.
Do you know,
Robin, you're going to come back with me. Do you know this music?
No.
Oh, I've heard it so many times.
Okay, that's really weird, man. Have you actually checked this and you are right, or are it just sounds like it?
Yeah, it is the Morgan Creek's theme music. Disney also used it for their logos during the DVD previews. Okay. I've heard it so much.
All right.
But it gets a little dark real quickly. Lots of torturing going on.
Yeah, because I I did not realize. Like, I thought this film was almost a kid's film, you know?
Did you?
I did. I didn't. I mean, it's PG, isn't it?
I don't know.
I didn't mind the Kevin Costner with long hair. You know, putting long hair on someone is always a good move, I think.
Is it?
Nick Cage pulled it off.
Yeah, but that's Nick Cage. He's an anomaly.
That could be literally the only person who has pulled it off. Sean Connery.
John Travolta in Pulp Fiction.
Long-ish.
Anyway, Robin Hood. Robin of Locksley.
Robin Hood.
He uses a little tactic here to break free here. Gonna get his hands lopped off, but no, he pulls a little quick maneuver and off he goes, taking out all the guards one at a time.
Seemed a bit easy.
Definitely seemed a bit easy.
Yep. But Morgan Freeman's there.
Morgan Freeman with his...
He got lucky to get freed.
His accent. What accent is he doing here? Is it Irish?
Maybe it's because I'm Irish. No, I don't think so.
It's definitely some sort of United Kingdom accent, is it?
I don't think so.
What's he trying to do here? South African?
I thought he was doing Middle Eastern.
Well, yeah, that could be right. His name is Azeem.
Azeem? Who is Akeem? That's someone.
I know Akeem from Coming to America.
Well, never mind. So we get this pretty useless bit of information from Azeem here saying, I must stay with you until I save your life.
Well, you know that's going to come back right at the very end.
Right at the end of the movie. Yeah. Yep. But now we get our first scene with the KKK at the front of, where is it, Locksley Castle, I guess?
That is so ridiculous that my notes, I wrote KKK as well.
I mean, the way they do that circle, I've seen this in, Mississippi Burning. Yeah,
the torches, the flames.
Yeah, I was like, okay, were there KKK back then? They're just guys in white hoods. Surely the people who made this film, early 90s, they knew how this looked. Like, they really wanted us to make sure these are the bad guys.
Absolutely. Now, is this guy, this is Robin's dad?
Yes.
Yes, okay. I was
a lord, I would say.
Lord of Loxley.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I was a little bit confused for a while there. I didn't know who this guy was. Because before this, I didn't know that Robin Hood was Robin of Loxley. Like, I didn't remember that from seeing many other Robin Hood films or the tale, the fable, whatever it is.
Fable? I think it's a fable.
Fable means fake?
No, it does not.
What does it mean?
A fable's generally like a children's story that has very strong, like, moral
tones.
Ethics. Tones isn't a bad word. Yeah, tones. We'll go with tones.
Okay. Yeah. I've seen, like, the 1939, I think it is, Adventures of Robin Hood.
Errol Flynn.
That's the one.
Yep.
Have you seen that one?
I saw some of it.
I didn't mind that one.
No, it wasn't very good.
Haven't seen the Disney one with the
what?
Fox.
Come on.
Haven't seen the Russell Crowe Ridley Scott one.
I saw some of that. No way I was staying awake during that.
I haven't seen Men in Tights.
Wow. That's big.
It's a Mel Brooks film.
You haven't seen Men in Tights?
I know bits of it. We are men. Yes, we're men in tights.
I feel like I don't like it as much as most people like it, and I'm not sure.
Well, that's understandable. You have shat on Mel Brooks.
I'm not sure that you would like it. I think it would be very much like a Wayne's World for you, where you've seen it way too late and wouldn't appreciate it.
Well, maybe that's a film you can choose for me sometime down the road.
I mean, I wouldn't mind choosing it for you.
You just got to win something.
Well, with that comment, I'll see what other old foreign film I can find for you, Hendo.
Hey, that's my thing.
But we get a time jump 4 months later. That's fine. So they get off, they're on the sand, then he ends up walking with Azim through the woods. And we get this whole sequence where this kid is being chased by Carson.
I never knew this guy's name.
See, I was pretty sure it was Carson, but then I thought maybe Alan Rickman called him Cousin.
Oh, Cousin. I've written Cousin. It's Sheriff's Cousin.
I think his name is Carson. Carson the Cousin.
That makes a little bit more sense, because when he goes and kills him, I'm like, man, he just killed his family so quickly, like over nothing.
Yeah. But I quite liked Robin Hood's dialogue with these guys here, where he's like, what manner of ferocious beast takes six armed men and blah, blah, blah. And then he obviously already knows. He looks like, oh, a small child. I like that stuff.
But we can see how well adversed he is in some fighting tactics. He does take out four of the six.
Yeah, very easily.
Yeah.
And, like, has Carson dead to rights. Carson, dead to rights. Like, he could have taken care of this guy. Do you reckon he's ever been a good guy in film?
I don't even know who this guy is.
Oh, he looks like a 90s bad guy in every film.
Well, I'll just take your word for it. But you get buddy Azim. You don't want to help. He's having a prayer.
This was ridiculous, by the way. Mate. He has six guys attacking one Robin Hood, right? It is his sworn duty. His one reason for being there is to save Robin Hood's life.
Hey, he didn't say when he was going to do it.
And he comes back, he's like, well, you're not dead, are you? I was like, what?
So we're back to Sheriff Nottingham. Alan Rickman in his long hair here. Looks a little weird, must say. He looks like Hans Gruber, just grew some hair. Because he's got the goatee and everything.
I don't buy that at all. I don't think he looks like Hans Gruber at all.
Why?
Well, where are the fine suits?
I mean,
Don't shake your head at me.
I'm looking at the face of Alan Rickman with the Hans Gruber goatee and the non-Hans Gruber hair. He sounds like Hans Gruber.
Clothes. He needs like his, $3,000 suits.
No, but his cousin comes back and tells him that this guy's a threat. Like, I barely escaped. We had six of us and he took us all down. So he goes to see this witch.
Can I just say this is the absolute worst part of this film is this witch. You could have lost her. And the film not only doesn't change at all, but becomes ultimately better.
Yeah, I completely agree. This, every time she was here, bored me to tears.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand what was going on.
Yeah, and this whole thing with, like, the painted man will, be the death of us or the death of me or whatever. And I think, honestly, I think the main purpose of the witch in this film was to give Azim more of a plot line at the end of the film. Where he actually plays a part in killing her. Because obviously he's not going to kill Sheriff of Nottingham.
I mean, do we have to have all these scenes
No, I don't, but it's a 2.5-hour movie nearly, so
God.
It's going to get padded out with stuff like this that does not help the movie. She's a weird unit.
But Robin gets back to his hometown. His home.
His actual home. Duncan.
Blind Duncan.
Yeah.
I think his mates just call him Duncan, though.
You kind of wonder how he was getting by in medieval times blind by himself, though.
Just hanging about.
Hanging about.
Well, his horse guides him where he needs to.
Just like Kevin's dad.
That is cold.
He's cold.
Much like his body. But we get the old cliche, standing at the grave, I will avenge you, father. Okay, this is the story. This whole movie is quite dark. I wasn't expecting it to be like this.
No, there's a lot of things in here I would literally double take out. Like, oh shit, did they just say that?
But there's also some weird slapsticky stuff going on at certain points. This movie tonally is kind of all over the joint.
I mean, what would you class it? And it's not family, just an adventure film?
I guess.
Yeah. But we get the guys going to Maid Marian's castle.
Yes.
I actually laughed at this bit where they go inside and the heavyset lady reveals herself to be Maid Marian. And Robin Hood's just like, you've changed. Did you find that funny?
I did. That was funny. But obviously, it's a tactic because they don't want to reveal Maid Marian straight away to any random person. But, you know, she's got some good defensive tactics.
Fighting skills? Yeah, Back into it?
No.
No. She's like this black knight. I mean, as soon as they started fighting, it's so obvious.
You know what's even more obvious?
What?
When she makes a girly scream later on.
It's a scream from a girl, so it's, yeah.
Yeah. That's when you absolutely know that it's a girl.
Did you not know until then?
No, I didn't.
Really?
I didn't.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But they go and talk about how they knew each other when they were younger. See, Robin sounded like a little shit when he was a young kid.
Yeah, they definitely speak of him as though he wasn't the most likable person.
But they also talk about how, I guess, the sheriff slandering Robin's dad's name, that he was doing all this bad stuff. That's why they killed him. Obviously, none of it's true and no one believes it.
How bad is this bit where Azeem makes a telescope and Robin Hood...
This is what I'm talking about.
And Robin Hood looks through it and then quickly draws his sword as though something is mere centimetres in front of his face.
That's what I'm talking about with this tone.
That was so funny, man.
But they escape, all the men that show up, through the forest.
Yes, and they go into the haunted forest. Seriously, I was watching this like, really?
I did read that during the shooting of this scene, Kevin Costner actually pulled his horse up, and as a result, the horse's neck came back at him so fast that he actually broke his nose.
That explains the face.
Damn.
Did you find it odd, though? Like, they're being chased by some horses, right? We've just seen Robin Hood take on 6 guys by himself and beat them. Now he has Azeem with him, and they're just like, I think it was Azeem saying, I'd rather face him and die or something than go into the woods. It's like, you guys are clearly very, very skilled.
Yeah, he says something like, this is not the way you want to avenge your father by dying right here, right now. Yeah, doesn't make a lot of sense.
No.
But Sheriff of Nottingham has a little fit here. You hear that line? He says, I'm calling off Christmas.
Oh, yeah. Not a good line.
Rickman ad-libbed that.
There's some odd Rickman ad-libs in this
Definitely.
Film.
Definitely. There is one coming up later, which I had a fair laugh at.
I was like, we'll get to that. Now, we get Robin and Azeem come to this creek, whatever it is.
Looks more like a creek.
Whatever it is. It's a crossing. We'll call it a crossing.
Sure.
And one of them says, in my dreams, I imagine such a place. The other one says, then imagine a way to cross it. I was like, oh. That's a rough dialogue.
Bit rough. But here's where we get all the extra crew here.
Little John. Christian Slater.
Will Scarlet. There's Little John. Challenges Robin to a fight. He knocks him into the water. He's like, I am victorious. I am good. He gets pulled in the water and then whinges like a little bitch.
He can't swim.
He's like, yield.
Oh, actually, this was quite funny because the whole thing was he can't swim. And then after he yields, Robin Hood's just like, all right, now stand up.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh. Surely you'd try and extend your legs out a bit,
wouldn't
you?
Yes, you would.
Yeah.
So we get to the church here, where Robin's done a little sneak move, come in to have a chat with Maid Marian about what's going on. She gives him the news that the Sheriff of Nottingham has got all these troops ready to get a hold of him, to attack him. So what does he do? He goes and sees the Reverend. And I thought for a while that this was Friar Tuck.
I understand why you would think that.
He talks to him like he's known him for a very long time.
Yeah. No, that's not.
Very, very convenient that he opens the door just when the sheriff is right there. Has a little freak out and slashes him across the face.
I mean, I don't think it's convenient. It's set up, isn't it? Like, the Reverend has betrayed Robin Hood.
But he doesn't know he's there. How did he signal the sheriff?
I don't know.
No Wi-Fi back then.
But we're back in the forest. And I think Robin, this Robin Hood and Azeem relationship really is a funny one. Because you think, all right, they're going to be best friends. But then you get lines like this, where Azeem's like trying to help him and offer him some guidance a bit. And Robin Hood says, you forget yourself. I don't ask for your company or counsel. I was like, oh,
calm down, mate.
It's like,
why are you such an asshole?
He's so mean to him. And I actually don't blame the merry men here. They now have to live with this Robin Hood person who's, firstly, he's not, they're just like, oh, you're not one of us. And he's like, I'm not one of yous, I'm your leader.
Yeah, like, he just rocks up, I'm taking control. Yep. I'm like, mate, you've gone and screwed up this town and now they're gunning for all of
they
us.
They were living happily.
We didn't do anything wrong. Like,
yes, I know, obviously, it's going to end up that they, you know, they all end victorious and they blah, 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 blah. But really, this is quite a peaceful area. They are living happily here.
It does happen for everyone, though. Like, the Sheriff of Nottingham loses his mind, tells him just go and find this Robin guy, and that all these guards and his cousin, they torch.
Carson.
Yeah, that's what I said. They torch villages, they destroy towns, and everyone is pissed at Robin.
Understandably so.
Absolutely, but he thinks he's in the right.
How good was Will Scarlet's reaction, though? Whilst Robin Hood is, yeah, has his back to him, so a bit of a dog move,
yes,
but throws the knife towards him, Robin Hood just shoots him through the hand. Jesus. Never complained about again, though, I must say. Surely that would be a tough injury to manage in the woods.
Yeah, surely there'd be some sort of a bandage or something, some sort of cover.
It'd affect your ability to, like, shoot arrows throw in the future.
Throw more knives.
Throw more knives, yeah. But we get this huge montage now.
I thought I was watching
this will be good.
Ancient Rocky. Medieval Rocky, more like it.
Do you mean medieval Rocky?
What's the difference? You say medieval, I say medieval.
It's actually quite amazing how well this group of woodsmen are able to make steel weapons in vast quantities.
You also get the montage of them just attacking all the guards, the horse and cart, taking all the gold.
This went on for a while.
Did.
Maybe too long?
A bit too long. And you see that Robin Hood's price has gone up. First, was it 500 bucks alive, and now it's 1,000 dead or alive?
Yeah. And now we get 5 months later, it's at 25,000.
Yes.
That's a lot.
That is quite a lot.
And it's fair enough that some of the Merry Men are considering it. But we do get some classic Rickman Sheriff Nottingham here.
He actually turned down this role of the sheriff initially, but then came back when he was told he had a carte blanche on whatever he could do. Whatever he wanted to do with his character, go for it.
This line here where he's walking away, he's obviously angry. He sees some wench up against a cave wall and he's like, you, 10:30.
You, 10:45. Bring a friend.
I never, ever picked up on that before.
I laughed my ass off. I'm like, what is that? That was amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Actually, lines like that were devised by Alan Rickman's friend and comedian Ruby Wax. He enlisted his help in splicing up the dialogue because he felt the script was kind of terrible.
Ouch.
Kevin Reynolds actually let the script alterations happen, but he didn't want to let any of the other crew know, especially Kevin Costner. So Rickman said in an interview years later that he knew these new lines were having the desired effect when during takes he'd noticed the crew members were trying to cover their mouth laughing.
Really is amazing this film was so successful, isn't it? Sounds like there was a lot of issues behind the camera.
Yeah, when I saw the results, the box office, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Wow. It's insane.
But it's here we're introduced to our good friend Friar Tuck.
Yes. This guy. Where do you know this guy from?
The drunk. Oh.
You know him.
You know, it's funny. I actually think I looked it up and I had that reaction of, oh, wow, it's him. Yeah, I don't know. What is it?
He is Professor Keenbean. Richie Rich.
Okay, I don't know that.
Oh, wow. I thought you would have known that.
Nah, he's something else I know him from.
Anyway, that was a deflating answer. He's got a bit of a fight in him. A bit of a spark.
I mean, he's an idiot.
Yes.
Let's get that out of the way. He's a drunk. He tries to bite Robin Hood.
Yep.
Why?
Because nothing else is working.
Yep. But we get the scene where the sheriff kills Carson.
Cousin.
With a sword.
What a bastard. Killing your own cousin.
At least I didn't use a spoon.
That's not good.
You didn't like that line? I mentioned it last week. You didn't remember?
How was I going to remember that?
It's a good line.
I don't even remember it.
Oh, all right. Now we get to our almost excellent in the film.
Oh, my God.
Some nudity.
Oh, some Kevin Costner ass.
That white bum.
That lingering shot with the sensual music and the waterfall.
And you got the girls, like, watching on. And I was like, was he a heartthrob ever?
No.
I don't think so.
You can tell this was basically made by Kevin Costner. Now, look, we've got to have my ass. We gotta have my ass in this movie.
It'll drive the women crazy.
Make it look sensual. Get the waterfall going, but no dick. You can cut that one. But they go back to their thriving community here. Seems to be having a good time, everyone here. What do they make of this archery play where they're trying to get the bullseye while being distracted.
I don't know. Like, it's everything about this is so, like, corny.
Yeah.
It's a very corny, corny film.
I didn't mind this little archery part.
Didn't you?
Yeah. I like how Robin Hood isn't the guy who gets the bullseye. He also fails at this. I probably wouldn't have liked it if he shows the kid, oh, look, you're stuffed up. Let me do it. Boom, instant bullseye.
Yeah, I think this is more setting up the love between Robin Hood and Maid Marian here. We get this scene between them where Robin Hood opens up about his dad moving on from his dead mum, and Robin Hood was, like, really angry about it. This whole subplot with...
not the best.
Will being Robin Hood's brother.
Oh, that came out of nowhere, and I was like, what?
Yeah.
I didn't even understand that. So what, they had the same dad, different mum? Is that what it was?
Yeah, so, well, this is why I bring it up here, because Robin's talking about how his dad moved on.
Mm.
So when he moved on, they had another kid. That was
okay.
Will Scarlet.
Okay.
Yep, pretty much.
You got Friar Tuck insulting Azim here.
Racist.
A little racist.
Yeah.
Highly racist.
Yeah. I mean, we get this baby being born.
Yep. So, was this just to show Azim is good?
Capable. Maybe he just wasn't getting any scenes.
Is it there just to show the resolution between Friar Tuck and Azim that was created 30 seconds ago?
I mean, Morgan Freeman was big at this point, wasn't he?
Yeah, he'd done Driving Miss Daisy.
Glory.
Yep. That'd be the two big ones.
Yeah.
I don't know. Definitely a lot of filler in this movie.
It's overly long. It is overly long. But we get some more corny dialogue here with Maid Marian standing on the water's edge. And Robin Hood's just like, you know, asking her to do something. And she's like, yeah, I won't do it for the king. And I was like, oh God, she's going to say it.
Yep.
But I'll do it for you.
Yep, I knew that was coming. They share a little kiss. And I didn't mind the whole... leaving with Duncan, where he's telling her, I need you to look after and take care of him. And then he goes to Duncan, like, I need you to look after her, take care of her. Gives him a bit of purpose.
Yeah, you got to pump up the plebs sometimes.
So we get another weird witch scene moving on. I honestly didn't understand any of this witch stuff that was going on.
What's to understand?
I don't know. I don't understand it.
I don't think there's anything to understand.
Surely there's something there. She's saying something that we need to be understanding.
I don't think so. She's just prophesizing what will happen.
Well, as we later find out, she's not prophesizing because she's watching through the peephole. She's the one that's watching and getting the information so that she can act like she knows all this weird stuff. So the sheriff is like, oh, wow, you know so much. You must know what you're talking about. But no, because she's just listening in on conversations. That's when he finds out that she's his mum later on. He finds the peephole and he's like, goes and sees her like, you were spying on me this whole time. That's how you knew about all this. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, maybe you saw the extended edition and I didn't because I don't remember that.
You know, I actually think I did. Yeah, so there is this little subplot about the witch being the sheriff's mum.
Interesting.
No, it's not.
Hmm.
That's why they cut it.
I mean, it couldn't have been too bad. They added it back in.
So there's this whole thing here where Marian, she gets home with Duncan. She gives this letter to her priest, her reverend guy,
yep.
And he betrays her. He sets her
obviously,
up with-
Obviously, this was always going to happen.
Absolutely. You could tell from the get-go.
What was she meant to do?
Yeah, it's true.
Like, if only there was a more reliable postman she could have gone to. Have you seen the postman?
No.
Really?
Don't give me that shit. Was it like 4 hours long?
I think it's three. It's a good three.
A good three? Not a lot of good threes out there.
Just making a note, next movie to give to Hendo.
You know what? I haven't even seen The Bodyguard.
Well, that's your loss.
Put that one down.
No, I will not. The Postman Hendo.
So obviously she gets betrayed and she gets taken. There's a scene where this sheriff gives these people some money. Are these like assassins or something? Who are these people around this table?
Could be assassins.
I can't remember. I'm sorry. I honestly, by this point, I'd lost a lot of interest. Yeah. I was just waiting to get to the scene where, you know, they do the archery competition and Robin Hood does the split.
That's from the cartoon.
I know. I'm waiting for it.
You haven't seen the cartoon.
It's from the Errol Flynn one as well.
Is it?
Yes.
You should watch the cartoon.
I will eventually one day.
Yes. So
no, but dumb, stupid, blind Duncan gets on his horse and travels back to Robin Hood. Clearly a setup because they get ambushed very badly.
And this is the big action scene of the film.
Yep.
Like they've set up this bloody Hook style tree houses. That's fine. You know, we love Hook here. So, but there's lots of fire. There's this whole dramatic ordeal with Little John's wife and getting her from down the top of the tree.
That kid, not the baby, but the actual kid in the film, that's their son as well.
Yeah.
I didn't find that out until the hanging part. Were we supposed to know that?
I don't think it matters. I think we did know that, yeah.
Oh, okay. I must have missed that one.
Yeah. So what did you make of this big fight in the woods?
Oh, I thought Robin died for sure.
How good was it when it's revealed, the big reveal that he's alive and his like shadow comes through the mist over the hill? Fascinating.
What do you think movies back then thought that would work? Is that supposed to be a big reveal? Do you think people in the audience were like, oh, he's alive? He's alive.
I don't know. Like, I think so, yeah. Like, we're obviously very critical.
That's an understatement.
And I think when, you know, if you're a standard moviegoer and you just go into a movie to see a fun film, maybe you think there's a possibility. Nah, like,
of course it's not.
It's not even the end of the film. There's still another hour to go.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's odd. But Will Scarlet gets captured. He convinces the sheriff that, you know, I hate Robin Hood. I'm going to go back and I'm going to betray him and all this stuff. And he goes back.
Yeah,
and
I want to talk about this. So,
sorry, was I not already doing that?
No, I want to talk about this. Was he ever going to betray him, or is this just so sudden that he comes back? He's like, you know, I'm going to sell you out. Oh, you're my brother. We're good again. In an instant.
I think when he was talking to the sheriff, he was going to sell him out. And I think when he got back, he changed his mind.
That is quick.
I mean, I can't offer any excuses for it.
Because Will knew he was his brother. It's not like he found out this information and then changed his mind.
But I think telling Robin Hood was quite cathartic for him.
But he still was going to sell him out at that point. It's only until Robin said, you're my brother, I love you. He's like, yeah, I'm not going to betray you now.
I don't know. Now, they go to the city to save the group of people who are about to be hung. Okay, that's fine. Why the hell would you send Will Scarlet to walk through the crowd? Because the boy loses that at him and the whole thing gets bloody mixed up.
True. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
And what do you think of Robin Hood and his awesome arrow skills? Is he's taking pot shots at the ropes?
How epic is the shot of him firing that shot on the poster?
Oh, the slow-mo as the flame goes along.
It was a good shot, like.
Yeah, it's good. It's very memorable. It was okay.
I mean, I like the archery stuff. We needed more archery in this film,
I did like all the little ninja things that were going on before they got to the hanging, where Little John's wife is up on top and she drops the knives down. They stick in the ground just before they walk past and they pick them up. It was very, very good. But the sheriff has taken Marion away because, you know, she's made a deal. I'll marry you if you save my people and that. So what did Robin and Azim do? They jump in a catapult. They're flying over the wall.
I think it was a trebuchet.
Is that what it is?
I don't know. I just like that word.
You get this out of place F-bomb here.
Oh, yes. I was like, did Christian Slater just say, fuck me, they cleared it?
Yeah, I went back. I'm like, did he actually just say that? That seems so weird.
Apparently it was entirely ad-libbed from Christian Slater.
Yeah, and Kevin Reynolds kept it in because he thought it was funny, despite it being very inaccurate historically. I don't think that word was around back then.
Who cares? How about despite it doesn't fit the tone of the film at all?
Absolutely. That's what I'm telling you. This tone of this movie is just so all over the joint. That's a comedic line. It's supposed to be a comedic line, yet there's a lot of dark stuff going on in this film, and then all of a sudden, fuck me, he cleared it. I'm like, was that just a laugh?
Oh, I thought it was funny.
Like, but are you laughing at it or laughing with it?
Probably at.
Yeah. So they rush up to the top of the castle here with a rapey sheriff going on.
Rapey sheriff is an understatement. Yes. Again, I just did not realize what the sheriff was trying to do. He is seriously trying to rape this chick.
But like you said before, Azim has to do something here. So, you know, he fights the witch and she runs into his sword.
Yeah, I guess we can't have Azim being seen to actually kill someone because he's such a good guy.
What? He kicks the door in and throws his massive sword at her and she goes flying across the room.
Actually, that was really cool. One of the better witch scenes.
Yes, the death.
Kill the witch.
But there's this sword fight here between Robin of Locksley and Sheriff of Nottingham. It's okay.
I did like that they cut away from it to see something else and then cut back to it so it didn't feel too long. It was good that he like completely chopped Robin Hood's sword because they do mention that, I think, is it Swiss steel? I could be getting that wrong. But this type of steel that the sheriff had, which was much better than the other steel.
I think it was Swiss steel.
Yeah. Yeah, so, that, you know, it's that, good that, that come back.
That cut that we also get is Fry Tuck throwing the Reverend out the window.
Yeah, since when? Like, this is a man of God, of religion. He straight up kills this guy.
Because he is not part of the faith. He is this Reverend who's betrayed everyone he loves and, you know, he deserves the punishment. Out the window. But stupid sheriff gets distracted, gets knifed with a little dagger.
Marion's dagger, of course.
Yes. And, yeah, he's dead.
He dead.
He dead.
That's okay.
And that's where you get the witch running at him and boom, here comes a theme. We're even. But, you know, we got to end the movie with a wedding.
And not just any wedding. The cameo of all cameo weddings.
Did not know this.
I did not remember this. What the hell is Sean Connery doing in this film?
He's getting paid $250,000 for 2 days' work. That's what he's doing.
So Sean Connery is playing King Richard, yeah?
I must say he did donate that money to charity, so well done.
Well, he's a stand-up guy, our Connery.
To a degree.
Mm.
Sure, he was on the side of Sheriff of Nottingham here.
Ooh. I mean, yeah, but damn, you went there. Okay. Yeah, pretty pointless cameo, though, from Sean Connery. Out of place.
Agreed.
This is not a, oh, the king's come to bless it. It's, holy shit, Sean Connery's in this film. Yep.
Didn't remember that King Richard was Scottish, by the way. Yep, but they get married. And that is the end.
Hold on.
No.
Fry Tuck breaks the fourth wall.
Oh, my God. He does too, doesn't he?
That was terrible.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Terrible.
What was the point in that?
Well, I mean, what's the point of most of this? Let's get into our final thoughts, Endo.
Go for it.
Honestly, I was so disappointed. So a lot of these movies that I watched a fair bit as a kid, I guess, early teen, they hold a lot of nostalgia for me, and it's fun going back and watching them. And even though, like, you know, deep down, you know the truth is they're not great films, but you can still love them nonetheless. And I have a lot of films that people don't like, but I've watched them so much as a kid. I have so many fond memories surrounded by these films or surrounding these films that you still have. You're reminded of how you felt being young and watching this film. That did not happen with this film. It's so rare. I watch a film that I loved as a younger fellow and just struggled. I struggled to get through this film. I was genuinely excited when Josephine gave us this film to watch. And I'm sorry, Josephine, but it let me down. It really, this film just was all over the place.
And you're not in Josephine's good books, are you?
I know, I'm
sorry. Your dislike for In the Name of the Father, for
Don't bring
Jaws.
It up.
God, now you're doing this to Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
I mean, I'm not doing it deliberately. Like, I really, you know, I wanted to like it. I went in thinking this is going to be cool as. Fuck, it's so bloated and boring. It's long and boring. Sorry. Endo, final thoughts.
What's your rating?
2 stars.
Okay.
And if I was you, I would probably be thinking 1.5 because I reckon I'd give it 0.5 star for nostalgia alone.
Okay. Well, I honestly didn't know too much about this film, just Robin Hood. So I was going in with that story. Not the biggest Kevin Costner fan in general. And, you know, the fact that he's the big lead in this film and he takes over the majority of the film, that really didn't help its cause. Obviously, Alan Rickman was, you know, he's a bit of breath of fresh air in this film. I didn't mind him. But I just couldn't grasp the tone they were going for here. It was just, it was all over the joint. You know, you have this dark and gritty fight and death, and then you cut to weird slapsticky kind of humor and joke lines. And I couldn't follow what they wanted me to feel with this film. It is incredibly long. Like you said, bloated things that were in this movie that just didn't need to be in. And I'm almost positive I watched the extended version now for our conversation. This stupid witch story that made no bloody sense. There's some good things in there. I didn't mind Morgan Freeman. Some of the action was good, but there's just as many corny scenes as well. I give it 2 stars as well. Like, sorry, Josephine, but it's just not for me. I guess you have to have, you know, loved it at the time when you saw it, and it's a big nostalgia kick. But Dean, you've
maybe not.
No. Okay. But that's our thoughts on Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Yes, it is.
We hope you enjoyed that breakdown. Now, next week, we are back with Mission Impossible 4. Now, Dean, obviously, we're still in our 1 year anniversary, so we felt it is appropriate to do our second Q&A episode this month.
Yes, we've got a few more patrons now, so we're very keen to see what you guys want to know, basically.
Yes, yeah, so anyone at the $10 or above level will get to put in unlimited questions. Whatever you want to ask us, we will answer it. And for anyone at the $5 or below level, we'll get you guys to give out three questions. What are the three questions you wanted to ask us the most? And yeah, at the end of the month, we will give you our big Q&A episode.
Yeah, the last one was a lot of fun, so I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely.
Nice.
So thank you very much, patrons. But we'll see you next week for Mission Impossible 4.
Bye.